Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. A little bit late, but guess what? A lot of information about what's going on in Dundas, and that's pretty important to a lot of listeners because they're going to have to accommodate these drivers that go into the Dundas area this summer. And construction has already started on County Road 1. How about that? It's kind of an overcast morning, and the temperature's in the 33 degree range. And right now, I want to remind you, this is April the 10th, and the year is 2018. And if my voice sounds a little froggy, it's because it is. I don't know what happened. But I do want to remind you that taxes are due by April 15th. Isn't that something? As a matter of fact, that's my wife Julie and I wedding anniversary. We got married on April 15th. What do you do? What do you buy something? Oh gosh, you know, over the years you give away everything, and I got to come up with something. Hey, speaking about coming up with something, I came up with a great guest today. His name is Butch Fisher. Hello, Butch Fisher. How you doing, my man?
Hello. Good morning, Wayne Eddy. I'm doing fine today.
You're a little bit shy, aren't you?
People tell me I'm not, but
okay. Well,
I used to be.
Yeah, and here's the deal, folks. I am on Carlton bowling team, and we bowl against the very best in Northfield. And I would have to say, Butch, on our team, you're kind of tied with Neil. And when I say tied, you both have about the same average. And yesterday we bowled, and you did a heck of a good job. What'd you get?
Pretty fair, a little bit over my average.
Did you get a 600?
No.
Close, though.
545.
Okay.
Not too good.
Well, tell them what I got.
I don't remember. You did fine.
Three something.
Don't remember what it was.
Anyhow, we bowl with Brad McNeil from Carleton College, and Neil, do you remember his last name?
Deedon.
Deedon, there we go.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, Deedon, and he's from the Faribault area, and then you are from, where do you live?
I live in Vesely right now.
Vesely?
Yep.
Okay. I've been to Vesely.
Well, if you blink too many times, you'll miss it. You're going by.
That's fine, but they have a parade every year.
I don't know if they still do. Used to. I can't even remember.
Okay.
A lot of times I'm gone.
Well, I have to tell you a story. I'm a deputy for Rice County on the motorcycle crew. And we, get all of our motorcycles, trikes, and we lead the parade. And then we go up and down and make sure kids aren't running out to get candy. And when the parade was over at Vesely, we went through. It took about 10 minutes. And I stopped. I went back, and there were people out on the lawn and having a good time. So I got off my trike, and I walked over, and I said, "Hi, are you having a good time?" I said, "Yeah, come on and join us." And they had all this food available because it was a big day for the family, and it was delicious, and I really enjoyed it. So that's my memory of Vesely.
You still do that?
Yep, if I can get, yep, if they're, well, they went on vacation one year, and I didn't know what to do, so I went to we used to call the black cow, no, the black steer. Now it's a big deal out there on 19 and 35. So here we go. We have a gentleman that graduated from high school in 1965, and that's right down my alley because in 1965, I was still at my first radio job over in Tomo, Wisconsin. So, as I told you yesterday, what we do is just chit-chat about life and all that. Where were you born?
Folks lived in New... They lived in Vestry when I was actually was born, and... I think I was about 4 years old when we moved to Newmarket, outside of Newmarket. That's where I grew up.
In Newmarket, okay. Yeah. Do you remember if there was a lot of competition between Elko and Newmarket?
There was always that little town rivalry, but, you know, when I was a kid, you don't notice it, but, yeah, there was always one's better than the other, you know, that's the way things are.
And now they call it...
Now it's combined.
Yeah. Is it Elko Newmarket? Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
So, Newmarket's a small town.
There was about, I'm guessing, 150 people when I grew up there.
Wow.
I think I knew every one of them, too, and most of them are gone now.
What about your dad? What did he do to be living in Newmarket?
He grew up in Newmarket, too, and his dad farmed real small farm. Well, there was a lot of small farms back then. I can remember my grandpa milking 8 cows by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the barn is still up there where he used to live. And then my dad ended up, he did cement work his whole life.
And that's kind of like DNS cement where you put in floors and sidewalks and driveways.
Yeah, my dad was in mostly in building the basement part, block.
Okay.
Brick and block. And
a lot of hard work.
A lot of hard work, a lot of hard drinking.
Yeah.
Went with it.
Who was the guy that had the bar in Newmarket with the nose?
Oh, Leo Eisens.
Yeah, Leo Eisens.
Mo and Franz Bar.
Yeah. I met him a couple of times. He was kind of an interesting man.
Oh, very interesting. And he knew everybody, and everybody knew him all over, from all over.
So did you live in a house in Newmarket or on a farm?
No, we lived in a small house just east of town where I don't know if anybody knows where the big apartment building is now, east of town.
Yeah.
There was a little house back down behind there is where I grew up.
Okay, and so when it came to going to grade school, was there a grade school in Newmarket?
Yep, it's still there, but it's been closed. The Catholic grade school there. I went there 8 years.
Catholic?
Yep, Catholic grade school.
What was the name of it?
St. Nicholas.
St. Nicholas. Is that the one where they built a big wall and it's up on a hill?
Yep, the church is on the hill. Then when they kind of widened County Road 2 there coming into town, they put a big wall there. They just widened it a little bit and now it's a big wall.
What was it called, the name of the school?
It's St. Nicholas Catholic Church and School.
St. Nicholas. Okay, I bet you it was a big deal at Christmas time, eh?
Well, they have a nice Christmas service.
So you then, do you have brothers, sisters?
I got 4 brothers, 3 sisters. Had 4
okay.
brothers, 3 sisters.
8 all together.
8 all together. I'm,
okay. Who's the oldest?
I have a sister older.
I mean, who's the oldest of the 8 kids?
Diane.
Oh,
Diane.
Okay. How much older than you is she?
4 years, I think. It's part of the year, 4 years, I think.
Okay. After Diane?
That's me.
Okay. And after you?
I had a sister, Shirley.
Shirley. Okay.
She passed away in 1984 at 36 years old.
Ooh,
cancer.
Cancer? Oh, my gosh. Lung
cancer, I think it was.
Okay.
She was born in 48 and died in 84.
Not nice.
Not nice.
How much younger was she?
You're younger than me.
Okay, so minus 1. Then after Shirley?
Bill. I had a Bill.
How much younger was he?
1 year.
1 year? Well, yep. Shirley is 1 year younger.
Than me, and Bill is 1 year younger than, than me, huh? 2 years younger than me.
So, okay, that makes sense.
You meant younger than me, right?
Yeah. Diane is 4 years older.
Yeah.
Shirley is 1 year younger. Bill is 1 year younger. And we got 4 more to go.
Yep. Fred was next.
Okay.
We all called him Rick.
Okay.
And he just passed away on October 8th, 2016. He lived in California for 30-some years and he got out of service and never came back here. And he had got cancer and died out there at 62.
Wow. Sorry to hear
2016.
That. After Fred?
Jerry. Got Jerry.
And then after Jerry?
Ross.
Who?
Ross, R-O-S-S.
Okay.
Jerry's 11 years younger than I am.
Oh, minus 11. Holy cow.
And then I think Ross is 2 years younger than Jerry, I think. I don't remember.
Exactly. Well, you don't have to be. Okay, so we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I didn't miss nobody, did I? Then we got a little sister. She lives out in Philadelphia now. Nanette. We call everybody knows her by Toots.
Toots, okay. And she's out in Philadelphia?
Philadelphia for, 20-some years already.
Wow. Okay. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are in studio at KYMN Radio in Northfield, Minnesota. We call the show The Wayne Eddy Affair, and each day through Monday through Friday, I interview people and just chit-chat, and sometimes people are nervous, sometimes people can't wait to get on the radio, and I always enjoy everybody that's here, because everybody is interesting, like my guest is Butch Fisher. You know, you're retired now, aren't you?
I've been retired about 6 years.
6 years? You're lucky.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Don't seem that long ago.
Well, let's see if I can figure it out. You were born in 1948, weren't you?
47,
okay. And you're retired already. That's cool.
Retired at 65.
Okay, so tell me more about your youth when you lived in Elko, or rather New Market. Tell me about Grandma and Grandpa. On both sides are on your mom and dad?
Well, Dad's Grandma and Grandpa, or Dad's mom and dad lived right, like I just said, south of Newmarket, across the cemetery from the church there, and he was a farmer. And I don't know any more of Dad's beyond them. And then my dad had one brother, one sister. One sister is still living.
Okay.
She's Helen Tuma.
A Tuma.
She lives out at Little Chicago. And dad's brother Roman, I think he died in 2001. My dad died in 1995.
How old was he when he passed away?
73 only.
Only, wow.
Roman was 83, I think. And the sister that's still living, she must be 93.
When you were growing up as a kid with those siblings of your dad, did you call them aunt?
Oh, yeah, we always did.
Yep.
We just always did, and I do sometimes yet, but kind of fading away, calling them aunt and uncle. But generally I do, yeah. That's the way I was brought up, I guess.
My wife has an aunt, who's 91 years old, and I call her Aunt Millie. I mean, that's just, I don't call her Millie, I call her Aunt Millie.
That's the way we grew up then.
Digging right. And how about your grandparents on your mom's side?
They're from Vesely. My grandpa and grandma, they farmed down there too. And grandpa died at 69. And grandma lived another, how many years? I don't know. She was 102.
Wow.
She passed away.
You got some good genes in you.
And my mom had, I think there was nine kids in her family. She's second oldest, too.
My guess is, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I think there's there's three sisters and three brothers of my mom's left.
All right.
But they're all up in their, almost all up in their 90s. They're getting up there.
Time's flying, huh?
Oh, time's flying.
My guest this morning is Butch Fisher. And Butch, if you were to, you live in Vesely now?
I do.
Okay. In a big house, a little house, right on the main street?
Little Rambler, just on the west side of town.
Okay, and well, there's only, what, one block west in Vesely?
Well, I'm actually started going out of town, I guess you'd call it.
Okay.
So I'm not in town.
Yeah, there's two roads to Vesely. You know, when you're coming from the west, you can turn in. If you're coming from the east, there's another road. And they kind of meet, don't they, in Vesely?
Yeah, there's an intersection right down below the church and the bar there. Well, there's actually four directions.
Okay.
They all meet right there. Right, that's right by my place.
All right. I've been by your place. 925 on the Wayne Eddy Affair, KYMN Radio, the 195.1. And don't forget, we're also 1080 AM on your dial. My guest this morning is a fellow by the name of Butch Fisher. He's from Vesely. And we're talking about Vesely. When you were a little kid, your dad was milking how many, 8, 9 cows?
Wait, my grandpa.
Your grandpa was. And did what was the tradition for the Fishers on Christmas, for example? Which family did you go with or to, or did you go to both of them?
I don't think we really went to the grandparents that much.
Okay.
When I was growing up. Not very much. We had our own family, and, you know, most of them were pretty big already.
Okay.
I don't remember going to the grandparents, like Christmas and stuff.
Was there a tradition in your family, like midnight mass or anything?
Yeah, years ago we always did when I was growing up as a kid. Yeah.
Were you an altar boy?
Oh, absolutely.
All
quite
right.
Quite a few years. I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I did too. And it's a good lesson, but I like to remind everybody I'm so old that we did Mass in Latin. I suppose you made too.
Oh, yes, I did too. I learned it in Latin. We had the nuns in the grade school, Catholic school, I mean. I remember graduating from 8th grade. I think there was 8 kids in the class. Look at them nowadays.
Yeah. Did you have to wear a uniform to school?
No, we didn't.
Wear anything you want.
I think my kids had to wear uniforms because I remember one of my daughters complaining. You know, they're always, when the kids are little, they got to wear uniforms. They're always ugly, right?
Yeah.
To them.
Yeah. How did you play when you were a kid, through the 8th grade? What was your first bicycle?
I don't know what the first one was, but As far as entertainment in the summertime, yeah, we rode bicycles. We were like, what, 1/8 of a mile out of town, and we'd go into town, Newmarket, and, you know, the kids in town, we'd play baseball, football, ride bikes a lot, play some of these other games like, tag and kickball or whatever you call it. Stuff like that. We had to make our own entertainment. There wasn't much there to do. But we got by, I guess.
Was there a store that the kids could go to and get popsicles?
Oh, yeah, there was a famous old grocery store that was there for a lot of years. Eugene Bush owned that store for many, many years.
Well, tell me a story about the store. not the shoplifting part, though.
No, don't do that stuff. I don't know what you're... Well, he, like in a lot of towns, a store like that, you know, they carried every darn thing from... Well, you know that, Wayne. You're a little older than me. They carried every dang thing you wanted, you know, clothes and boots, shoes, and drugs, I guess, and on top of the groceries, and whatever you needed, they had in one little store, you know. That's what it was back then.
And they lived in the store, too, didn't they?
No, they didn't.
Oh.
This was a pretty big store for a little town. I would say, when I think back of some of these other towns, it was a pretty good-sized store, I'd say, in that day.
When you were a kid and you went into town with your parents, you can take a left and end up in New Prague or take a right and end up in Northfield. Which one was the more popular for the folks that grew up in...
you mean from Newmarket?
Yeah. From Vestley, you know.
Well, from Vestley... I wasn't in Vestley till I was an adult.
As
a kid, I was in Newmarket, and
okay.
I guess my folks tended to go to Lakeville, like to the big grocery store, once a week or once every week, I suppose. And I guess they tended to go to Lakeville more than New Prague.
Okay,
but I went to school in New Prague High School.
Well, let's talk about that. And that reminds me, I have to talk about the quarterback club. You know where that is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You've been there?
A few times.
What do you enjoy? What do you order from them?
Most time when I stop there now, I end up, when I want a burger or something quick, I just have a burger most time.
Yeah, they have a special deal going there on burgers, and they are flame broiled, and the only place in town where you can get flame broiled burgers. And we can't forget their baby back barbecued ribs with mountains of madness just oozing all over them in the form of a special sauce. Delicious. And, of course, they're well known for their roasted chicken. We are going to take a brief break here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. And our guest this morning on Kim is a fellow by the name of Butch Fisher. And he happens to be a bowling buddy. He and I bowl on the same team for Carleton College. And we'll be back after these messages.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Veterans Memorial Community Center in Invergrove Heights. See up to 150 home improvement experts. The Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only. It's the smart place to start your home improvement projects. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
The party is on this Friday at Lonsdale Feed in Lonsdale. Lonsdale Feed is officially opening up their new building loaded with a large selection of dog and cat food, bird seed and feeders, plus pet toys and accessories. They'll have everything you need to care from horses to hamsters. The open house will feature lots of prizes, vendor presentations, food from Lonsdale Meats, and the music of the Czech Concertina Club. Don't miss the party this Friday starting at 10 o'clock until 6 p.m. at Lonsdale Feed in Lonsdale.
I'm playing the top 10 tunes from 1965, the year my guest got out of high school in New Prague. Can you guess this song?
This diamond ring doesn't shine for me anymore, and this diamond ring doesn't mean
one. Good song, but I'm not good at artists and titles.
Well, that is This Diamond Ring by Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Jerry Lewis's kid. It was number 10 in 1965, and I'm looking at the top 10 tunes here. When we get to the number one song in 1965, it's one of my most favorite songs of all time. We're back with Butch Fisher on KYMN Radio. Right now we have him going to St. Nicholas Catholic School in Newmarket. And he was an altar boy there. And when you were getting ready to go to high school, did you have a choice?
We could have went a little bit east of Newmarket to County Road 91, which was the line for Lakeville and New Prague School, I guess. We could have, if we would have went down to that intersection, I guess we could have gone to Lakeville School, but school bus was right in Newmarket there, so we rode the bus from there to New Prague. I guess Mom and Dad just decided to send us all to New Prague, I guess.
To become a Trojan.
To become a Trojan, yep.
Butch, tell me about the bus ride.
Too long.
Yeah. Was it first on, last off type of deal, or did they have first on, last off?
Well, being right in Newmarket, we were one of the first ones on because George Fisher, old Bucky Fisher, drove a school bus for years and years, and he lived right in Newmarket, so he kept the bus right in Newmarket. They had a bus garage right in Newmarket. And so in the end of the day, he'd go home with the bus, and in the morning, the bus was right in Newmarket. So we were one of the first ones on. And then they did a kind of a real route there towards St. Patrick and over that way. And I don't know, it was, I guess to a lot of kids, it was a long ride. I didn't mind it. Who was in a hurry to get to school?
what about when you got to New Prague High School, and you're coming from a Catholic grade school, and I assume that there was a strict policy at the grade school. The nuns would make you, you know, toe the mark, right?
Yeah, they were. Yep, it was pretty strict.
Do you remember any of the nuns' names? Sister.
The principal was Sister Esther. She was a little short nun, but she was the meanest one in the whole the whole school. And my favorite one, you know, for the last couple of months, I've tried to think of her name that I really, really liked, and I cannot come up with her name. I don't know why.
Well, I had a Sister Clarissa that was my eighth grade teacher. And at the time, she wasn't in my favor, and I wasn't in hers. But years later, I have to say, thanks to Sister Clarissa, she taught me a few rules and regulations and learned how to follow them. I just wondered if when you got on that bus for the first time and you're off to New Prague, did they say, oh, here come those Catholic kids? You weren't farming, but you lived in a house in Newmarket. But
I don't remember having any issue about that. I don't recall any of that. You know, it's long ago. I forgot a lot about school.
Okay, so tell me about. By the way, it's 9:35. My guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair is Butch Fisher, and we're chit-chatting about his growing up in a very small community in Newmarket. It's now called Elko Newmarket. Oh, by the way, do you remember the Elko Speedway track being made?
Vaguely, yeah, when it was just dirt.
Yeah.
Charlie Hansen built it.
Right, Charlie Hansen.
I don't recall a lot about it, and funny thing is, I lived so close to it and rarely went there.
Were you into hunting at all and fishing?
Yeah, Dad was kind of, he liked hunting and fishing a little bit, just small game and local lakes. He never went up, you know, like these people go to Mille Lacs and way up north, and my dad never did that. He just did local, and yeah, I used to go fishing and hunting with him when I was a kid, but then after I got grown up, older, married, kids, I kind of fell away from fishing. I never did. It was too much for hunting. But
do you miss fishing?
I still go once in a great while with one of my brothers, but in the winter, I like winter fishing. And now I got a buddy that bought a place on a lake in Wilmer. I go out there once in a while, just more to visit than the fishing, but that's just a bonus.
Well, the governor's fishing opener is in Wilmer on Green Lake this year.
Oh, that's huge lake, yeah.
And last time I went, I've been to the governor's opener and for 30 years, I suppose. And the last time they had it at Wilmer, the general manager of KYMN Radio at the time, Bob Matheson, and I went there. And it was miserable. Rain, and what do you call that? Half rain, half snow, and windy. Oh, and no fish, of course. But the community was fun. They opened up their city to the hundreds and hundreds of people that went down there, over there. So I know what you're talking about when you say Wilmer. But
yeah, I know. I know that's a huge lake, that Green Lake.
When you were a kid, your sister Diane was older than you by 4 years, so I'm sure she ruled the household for quite a while you were growing up.
Well, I think she helped Mom out a lot with the younger kids, you know, because for a while there was quite a few. But really, it's all for me as brothers and sisters, it was almost like two families because the younger ones were so much younger that I really didn't have a chance to grow up, so to speak, with them. So it's kind of weird when you think about it. I guess in that respect, you're not real close to them, don't go visit them a lot or don't have a lot in common. I don't know. Kind of different when you got big family like that spread out.
Well, Tuts was...
It was 20 years between my mom, my oldest sister, and my youngest sister. It was 20 years between each of them.
Wow.
So I thought that was a little weird when I figured that out.
Yeah. Now, did you kind of hang with Bill then, or Bill hang with you, or follow you around?
I guess we were probably the closest, yeah, and Ed Shirley.
How many bedrooms did you have?
I think there was only a couple. It was a very, very, very small house.
I mean, how did you sleep? I mean, was it the boys all in...
Three and four in a bed.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty, not very much room. So I don't know if that's why we got along fairly well, I would say, for a family that size. Naturally, we had our fights like everybody, but I think we were... Well, Dad held a pretty tight rein, so we couldn't get out of hand very easily.
How did they heat the house when you were a kid?
We had a small fuel oil stove in the middle of the main room, and it didn't heat the outside the farthest away room very well. Pretty dang, it wasn't fun.
Those things are dangerous, too.
That's another thing.
What did you use, kerosene? Or?
I think it was just a fuel oil. What do you used to call it? Distillate. Distillate?
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, it was like kerosene, but it wasn't kerosene. I know there's a difference.
I know.
But it was smelly, just like kerosene.
Yeah. And did Bill ever... challenge you, you know how brothers are, they always fight and you know and all that, and then the younger one always seems that, well, I think I can take my big brother now.
I probably was a lot more mean to Bill than I should have been. We had challenges, I'm sure, but
you got a big smile on your face, some memories, huh?
Not a real lot like I know friends of mine that fought a lot or more often, but I guess we didn't. We got along pretty well, I think.
Good.
For being that close, probably because we were close in age. I don't know.
We're going to take another break, 19 minutes before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Our guest this morning is Butch Fisher, and we will be back in a minute.
Your vehicle's engine warning light could mean something as simple as a loose gas cap or something serious and potentially expensive if you don't address it right away. Have our professional technicians at Witt Brothers Service diagnose and fix the problem as part of your overall preventative maintenance program. It could save you from costly problems down the road. Stop by Witt Brothers Service at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield for all of your automotive maintenance and repair needs.
A home is probably the biggest purchase you'll ever make, and you want to make sure everything goes smoothly. Call me, State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell. I not only offer homeowners insurance to protect your investment, but I can help with home loans too. No wonder more homeowners trust State Farm than any other insurance company. For information, call me, State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell at 645-4545. Providing insurance and financial services, loans are offered through State Farm Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown.
Hey, that's the name of that tune, Downtown. Number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 in the year 1965, the year you graduated from New Prague High School. Do you remember who sang this?
Neon signs are pretty, how can you lose?
Okay.
But I remember those songs.
Here I am. I always wonder how to say Pat Clark is what I say, but it's Petula or Petula. Petula? Okay, Petula, we'll go with Petula Clark. Okay, we're continuing our conversation here on the Wayne Eddy Affair with a gentleman that graduated from New Prague High School in 1965 and went to the St. Nicholas Catholic Grade School in New Market, then jumped on the bus and went to New Prague. How far were you from
New Prague?
From St. Nicholas when you were
New Market to New Prague, about 20 miles.
Okay.
I think it was about 20 miles.
To St. Nicholas?
From New Market to New Prague.
Oh, okay. I thought it was right there in New Market. Mm-hmm. St. Nicholas.
New Market.
It was in New Market.
The grade school was in New Market, St. Nicholas.
Yes.
And then I went to New Prague High School.
Right. And you lived in New Market.
Yep.
Okay.
It was about 20 miles away, I think.
Okay, so you get into New Prague and now the high school, the Trojans, and your class of how many did you say? Eight? You had eight to graduate at St. Nicholas?
From grade school,
yeah. Yeah, so now you're into New Prague, and of course that class is going to number a lot more than eight. And how did it feel to come into a high school? Did they tease you like you were a farm kid or something like that?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of scary because being from a tiny town like that, and if I felt out of place, yeah, because New Prague was a huge city to me when growing up in the little New Market. So it was a little weird at first, but yeah, I imagine there was, I don't remember, 100 and some kids in the in my classes in high school, I suppose.
Diane was out of school already, so she could be there to kind of show you around, right?
Yeah, right. I think she was a senior when I started.
Oh, okay. So did she?
A freshman, but I don't remember even. I don't even remember being around her in high school, you know.
Yeah, well, you were a little freshman, and she was a big senior.
Yeah.
So, you know, da 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 da. So when did you get involved in anything in high school besides going to class?
I really didn't. I didn't get into no sports or nothing because, to me, all them the kids from around New Prague or the bigger towns, they were all jocks in my book. I don't know. That's just the way I saw them. You know, I'm from a little old hick town. That's the way I saw it. And I guess I wasn't that athletic, or I figured I wasn't good enough. That's the best way to put it. I didn't feel good enough to be in the sports in the school, or so I never really got involved in none of it.
So you just hung by yourself or some other people that felt that way?
Kids that I grew up with, like a New Market or farm kids, or, you know, I suppose the kids from around that were farm kids around New Prague, I guess I had more friends like that than the city kids. Yeah, that was pretty much my friends.
Did you have a job when you were in high school to make a little money?
While I was in high school, in high school I worked for some area farmers around New Market, and especially in the summertime, yeah, worked for farmers. Like a lot of us kids did. That was fun. I enjoyed that. I was just talking to a guy the other day that lived out that way. He's 10 years older than me, but I can remember working on a couple of farms there when they still used the horses for thrashing.
Really?
I enjoyed the heck out of that.
You're the tail end of that.
Yep, tail end. I remember this one farm where they did it. And I really got it. I loved doing that stuff. The old thrashing machine and using the horses to pick up the grain bundles and that. I liked it. I guess I was taught right from early age that if you want to get anywhere, you gotta work. And I guess Dad instilled the good work ethics in me, the way I look at it. And all my brothers and sisters have good work ethics. So I was always pretty proud of that.
So besides the horses and the bundles during high school, what other things did you ever get on a construction crew, that, like with your dad? Or
I did. That's where I got started in my work. I was actually, I think I was probably 14 years old. I started to go to work with him in the summertime, throwing concrete blocks around, and I just enjoyed the heck out of it.
Did you get paid?
Yes, I got paid. And okay. I used to ask a lot of questions when I was that age, and my dad worked for a small contractor out of Bloomington, and, you know, I always asked a lot of questions because I want to know stuff, and my dad would just say, just work. Don't ask questions. Just work. And his boss would always tell me, hey, he ain't going to learn anything if he don't ask questions. His boss was really super guys, super people. So I think I learned from an early age to work hard, and I enjoyed doing what I was doing. And so I ended up laying brick and block for 25 years. So that was my start while I was a laborer with my dad. And
well, you don't remember your first bicycle.
I don't.
And I ask that question, it usually brings a smile to people's face because they remember it and they remember the old days.
Well, I know one thing. If we had a bicycle, we were lucky, and we never, ever, I don't think any of my brothers and sisters ever had a brand new bicycle.
Okay.
We had whatever we could find and piece together is what we had, and we were darn glad we had what we had. But that's the way it was.
And your dad had to feed 10 mounts, so he had...
Eight mounts, yep. So well, 10, yeah, 10, him and mom too, right.
Question. When did you get to drive, first drive?
Well, I used to... I guess Dad would let us drive once in a while with him when we weren't even old enough to drive. That was kind of the start.
What kind of a car was it?
The very first one I remember Dad had. He had so many nice cars in the 50s and 60s cars that I wish I had a couple of them today. He had a bunch of... I know he had a 49 or 50 Ford, 53 Mercury. He had a bunch of old DeSotos, big old tanks.
I had one of those.
Those were awesome cars.
Yeah, you could sit eight in the back.
Yeah, they were big.
Remember, they had the fold-down from the driver's seat and the passenger, right front passenger seat. In the back of those, there were fold-down seats.
I don't even remember that.
And then it was, yeah, I had an old DeSoto, and it had a weird clutch. You know, it was automatic unless you needed it or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to drive before you were licensed?
A little bit.
Yeah.
With my dad, never, not without.
Okay.
I don't think we dare try that.
Yeah. So when did you get your license?
As soon as I was able to, whatever age that was, I don't remember, 16, 15, probably had, what did we have, driver's training, 15 or something?
Yeah, I come from the 15,
and
no,
I remember,
no driver's training.
I remember taking driver's training, like you said, I grew up in Newmarket, and New Prague would have, it was some of the regular school teachers from New Prague in the summertime, they'd come out to Newmarket and give us driver's training. And I had driver's training. I could still remember it was a 53 Chevy, and I'm pretty sure it was a straight stick. All the roads out there were all gravel. I can still remember that. That was fun.
I had a 53 Chevrolet. It ended up up against a telephone pole.
And what you were doing?
You know what? There was a minor accident, and when I got the bill, I couldn't believe it. They actually charged, well, I moved it a little bit, and they had to repair it. And so I hit it with my beautiful 53 Chevrolet that was nosed and decked and had...
I remember when the days when they did that stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty cars, well.
Yep, and cherry and mufflers. It was a lot of fun.
Cherry bombs.
Oh, you remember those?
Yeah.
I got a story about that, too. And it led to my being requested to not request to continue my education at that school. Cherry bombs.
I still like the old cars, 40s, 50s, 60s. Those are still the best.
Have you ever got one? Just
I had a 57 Chevy one time, just a sedan, but I had a 58 Oldsmobile. I think that was my first personal car. What a big tank that was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice car, though.
Yeah.
Rode like a, like they say, everything rode like a, or was like a Cadillac. You know, Cadillac was the top of the line back in them days. But that, those Oldsmobiles were right up there alongside of them.
Is that, is 58, is that the year that had the chrome stripes on the side?
They had a lot of chrome on the side, yeah.
Yeah, and then they had teardrop headlights, I think. You know, they kind of, then they had the panorama windshield, wraparound windshield, 58.
Well, I don't know, them. Most of those cars were so big that, yeah, they had the big, they just were big.
Yeah.
I remember, compared to some of these nowadays.
We have Butch Fisher in here, and he is from Vesely, and Butch and I bowl together along with two other fellas. And I always enjoy chit-chatting with my guest at the bowling alley, and invited him to join me today. And so when you were going to New Prague High School, you didn't get involved in athletics at all. Did you get involved in like theater or art or music?
Nope, nothing.
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 Okay. So when did you finish off high school with a car so you didn't have to take the bus?
Oh, no. We rode the bus. There was very few kids rode. The only ones I remember were able to drive the cars to school were some of the farm boys. You know, they were needed on the farm, and that's my recollection, that they let... That's all I can remember. Mostly the farm kids from around it. They left to drive to school. Because I don't think just anybody could drive to school back then.
Huh.
I think they had a pretty good reason to, what I remember.
Well, they sure get to drive early, and they have parking spaces galore at schools.
Nowadays.
You go and you look, and I was thinking that the other day, parking lots for the schools that I went to were, you know, relatively small compared to today.
Oh, for sure.
Because so many kids have cars.
And, I never had a car when I was in high school anyway, and if I would have had, I don't think I'd have had gas money enough to drive to school every day anyway, because I wasn't working that much. Mostly worked in the summertime when school was out.
Did you, when you had helped your dad at the construction site beginning at age 14, that must have been a good paying job for a kid, 14, 15, 16 years old.
Yeah, I don't remember what I got, but I know he paid me something. You know, even my dad, at those days, wages were probably $3, $4, $5 an hour, which was very much for a family of eight, we have eight kids. You know, so they didn't give me very much, that's for sure. And I didn't go, you know, every day for, you know, all week or anything like that. I think it was just now and then I would.
Help out. But you weren't on the payroll.
Because I just enjoyed the heck out of it. And I really got to like the guys that my dad knew or that he worked with. They were all such good guys, you know, just really good guys.
Did it buff you up? Muscular?
A little bit back then, but not that much. I never was real muscular, but everybody told me I was pretty tough when back in teenage years and early 20s, but I didn't see myself like that. But
you got a good story.
What?
And I was a chicken. You know, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover.
Well, I always was too. I wanted to be.
So did you, in high school, did you have to altercations?
Oh, I was so shy. Nah, I was really shy, Wayne. I guess I had a girlfriend once in a great while, but not too much in high school. I was really shy.
In 1965, that's what we're talking about. That's when he graduated from New Prague High School. And we do have one more break before the news coming up in just a minute here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN 95.1 FM, The One.
Are you tired of that icky old shower, crumbling old tile, or outdated bathtub? Rebath can help in as little as one day. Rebath is locally owned and would be glad to meet with you for a free estimate. Call us today at 1-800-BATH-TUB to turn that old bathroom into new.
That's the title. This was the number 7 song in all of 1965. The Four Tops, by the way, are singing that. Hey, Butch, we're going to be taking a break for the news shortly and find out what's happening in the world. And we'll get you out of high school, okay? We'll have you graduated from high school. And then we'll pick up there and see where you went, what you did in 1965. I was a rookie. I started my first radio job in 1964 in August. And then I got drafted in October of 1964. So we'll finish off with this selection, and then we'll pick up after the news. Okay, Butch?
Sounds good.
All right. My guest this morning, Butch Fisher, on the Wayne Eddy Affair. He's retired, Butch is, and a young-looking guy. And I was surprised when he told me that he was retired. This is The One, 95.1 FM, and of course, 1080 AM, and we are KYMN from Northfield, Minnesota, and we are a friend you can count on.
Scoffs Zuckerberg testimony. I'm John Trout.
It's a disgrace. It's frankly a real disgrace. It's an attack on our country in a true sense. It's an attack on what we all stand for.
President Trump reacts last night to the news that the office of his personal attorney, Michael Cohen, was raided by the FBI. The president has had more to say this morning on the matter.
In one presidential tweet, attorney-client privilege is dead. A second one declares the Russian investigation, quote, a total witch hunt. 3 exclamation points and a total witch hunt in all caps. Last night, the president said verbally the raid on his personal attorney, Michael Cohen, was an attack on our country. While it's unclear the scope of the search, Michael Avenatti, the lawyer for Stormy Daniels, who's been sparring with Cohen, reacts.
For the president of the United States to cast aspersions as to the good members of the FBI, hardworking law enforcement people that are only trying to do their job, that are executing a valid search warrant, is outrageous.
Bob Costantini, Washington.
Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg will be testifying before Congress today.
Zuckerberg says that any user data improperly acquired by Cambridge Analytica was his fault, in that it's his company, so the buck stops with him. He says Facebook was lied to by Cambridge Analytica every step of the way, and that his company has new tools in place now to prevent such a breach from happening again. But Democratic Senator Bill Nelson says that doesn't make him feel any better.
You can't protect our privacy just on the basis of somebody telling you that they're going to protect it.
Nelson says regulation is on the way for social media. I'm Jim Roop.
News from the White House that the president has canceled a scheduled visit to South America. President Trump will remain in the U.S. to focus on a response to Syria, the reason given. VP Mike Pence will make the journey. Stocks are opening sharply higher on Wall Street as investors were encouraged to see conciliatory remarks from China's leader over trade. I'm John Trout.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. We are in studio, live and in color. This is what's nice about local radio and an award-winning radio station, I might add. If you ever come here, and you're all welcome, take a look at the wall that they have in here where they have numerous trophies as being the best radio station in southern Minnesota. That includes Mankato and Rochester and Austin and Albert Lee and Faribault. So we're proud of it. My guest this morning is a fellow by the name of Butch Fisher. And Butch grew up in New Market, Minnesota. He went to St. Nicholas Catholic School. And then he was bussed off to New Prague as a freshman and spent 4 years in New Prague. Didn't get involved in a whole big bunch of stuff. Kind of just kept to yourself, I suppose you'd say.
Just got smart.
Okay.
Was supposed to get smart, so that's what I tried to do.
And then I was heading towards the fact that after high school or in high school, some people considered you a tough guy, right?
Well, not in high school. I wasn't.
Not in high school?
I was only friends with those few farm, some of the farm kids, I guess.
Okay. So now it's 1965, and there's a draft going on, right?
Yep.
And so what happened to you?
I had my draft notice when I was still a senior. I had the draft notice in the mail before I graduated, so.
This was before they had the lottery.
Before the lottery.
If you were 18.
I think I was at the end of the draft, yeah. I think.
If you were 18 and a male, you got drafted.
Yep.
What was your birth date, by the way?
My birthday?
Yeah. May, June, July.
January 14th.
Okay. So they came after you right away because of the January. So you got out of high school, and you got the draft notice as a senior, and what did you have to do?
I guess I had to go register, or was a person registered before you got the notice? You had to register before that, I guess.
Yeah.
I remember.
Well, you went to the post office, I think, and registered.
Well, I remember going to Shakopee. Or maybe that was when I actually had to get into the service.
Did you know what was going on at the time in 1965?
Well, kind of. But I didn't like history very much, and so I probably didn't pay a lot of attention, but probably all I knew is what you heard people talking about.
So you're 18 years old, and they call you to the draft, they call you right away, or do you get to spend the summer? What happened?
You know, I don't remember exactly how it went, Wayne. Well, we graduated, what, June? I guess we graduated June always. Well, the following February, I was off to boot camp. Following February.
So when you went down to the draft board and went through all of the
Shakopee, I guess.
Yeah, and did you go to downtown Minneapolis and follow the red line?
I guess we did. I guess
yeah.
We ended up going to to the cities there somewhere.
Yeah.
After Shakopee, and then I'm pretty sure from it must have been from Minneapolis. I think we got on a train and headed for, they used to call it Fort Lost in the Woods, Missouri, Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri.
Okay.
So that's where I had a basic training.
Okay, so here you are, a young man, and you're on a train, and you get to the boot camp. Was that the, like, holy cow, look at these people. They're from all over, from the south and from the east and from the far west, and their dialect is different. And you're just a kid from New Market. Was that kind of like a cultural shock?
Oh, we really, really shocked. But, you know, looking back, I can't even remember specifics or much about it. But, yeah, no doubt it had to be a shock. All of a sudden, you grew up in a little dinky town, never away from home, and all of a sudden you're off to another state. And, probably scared to death or unsure of what's to come, I guess that's a better way to put it.
What was your drill sergeant like when you first got into boot camp?
Horrible, like everybody said, they were all horrible.
Yeah?
Funny thing was, I can remember the one that was really bad. His name was Sergeant Fisher, just like my name, but that didn't do me any good.
And now this was the Army?
Army. I was in the Army, yeah.
Okay. So now, how did you do in boot camp? I would imagine you were in pretty good shape.
Oh, I think I did pretty well. Thinking back, though, I should have never started smoking because paying for it now. But, I mean, back then it didn't hurt anything. But
did you start smoking in boot camp?
No, before that.
Okay, in high school.
We were smoking in high school, like just like that was the thing to do, you know.
What was your brand?
Oh, back then, probably, I probably followed that. Dad smoked Winston all the time way back there.
Well, Winston's tastes good, like a cigarette should.
That's why, I guess.
Okay.
But,
So now you're going through the battery.
I think I did well in boot camp, yeah. Okay. Nothing like the really physically fit guys, but I think I did okay. I mean, I didn't get picked on like some of them poor guys really got picked on and kicked and hit and everything else, but I never had it that bad.
So you were in good shape and were able to follow through on all of the physical things and go on the marches and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So now you're out of boot camp. What happens?
Well, let's back up here. When I got signed up, the draft was 2 years. Well, as soon as you get in boot camp there, they come with this spiel about how I recall it. You could enlist for another year and go to a specific school or go to somewhere for a specific MOS or whatever. So naturally, I took another year right away. I think I was in this Army 2 weeks, and I took another year, which I don't regret. But so then, after basic training, I signed up for, they called it Fuel and Electric Systems Repair. That was my MOS. So I went to Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland for AIT. That was a beautiful place. And I think there was about 14 of us from that class. We had, after AIT was over, we had orders for Vietnam. And I was kind of glad because back then I thought, well, every one of us gets our turn to go to Vietnam, you know. Sooner or later we're going to get there. So I think there was about 14 of us had orders. Shortly before we were supposed to leave to go over there, they changed their orders. So we ended up going to Germany. And I was in Munich. But I only stayed there 5 months because I was so looking forward to going to Vietnam and getting it over with. So I was kind of disappointed when they changed the orders. So I wasn't in Germany very long, and I thought, well, I was looking forward to doing Vietnam and getting it done. So I put in a, they called it a 1049, I think it was, to request to go to Vietnam. So it took a couple of months before orders finally went through. So they sent me to Vietnam then. I mean, I came home for a leave and then ended up going, where did we have to go? I should back up again. Before I went to Germany, this was a good experience too. I went to Germany on a ship. That was one of the last times that was towards the end of when they'd have the troop ships go across the sea. But that was a good experience.
Did you get seasick?
I did not, but I can remember hundreds of them did.
And was it like they leaning over the rail or right on the floor down in the...
What I remember was there was a few days where we had really rough seas, and they said the worst place to be on the ship was the latrine or the bathroom, which was on the lowest part of the ship, in the back end of the ship, and they said that was the roughest spot to be if in bad weather, and everybody's puking and doing you know what. But I was laughing because I never got sick.
How long did it take you?
9 days, I think. We were going from New York to Bremerhaven, Germany.
Did you get a chance to check out New York before you shipped out?
No, not really. My best recollection of New York was seeing the Statue of Liberty when we went past by.
Yeah.
And the other ships in the harbor and stuff. That's my most, the fun recollection.
Was it all Army on that ship?
Yeah, all Army as far as I remember.
Okay. And of course, the Marines were,
this is,
were
I,
the
I'm pretty sure we yeah. were all Army.
Yeah. But the Navy had Marines that would usually in those ships that would help doing whatever has to be done, because the Jarheads are part of the Navy, right? What is the Army song? Da 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 da. We
with
the dusty trail.
I hear it. The case sounds cool. When I go to these veterans programs, like around Memorial Weekend or Memorial Day, last few years I go up to this church in Roseville that has a program for Veterans Day, and they play all the branches songs and stuff, and I can't even remember. If I hear it, I know it. But
caissons go rolling along as Army.
But yeah,
I think.
But I can remember coming into Germany to what a reception. You come in the harbor and you've seen on some of these TV shows all the people welcoming the ship coming in, and that was really cool.
Who were was it the people that are already based there? The Americans?
I don't know who I don't know who all the people were, but I could still see, like you see on some of these movies, where
yeah.
I don't know who they all were, but okay. I could just still remember that. And it was
what's AIT?
Feeling. Advanced Infantry Training, or Advanced Individual Training, not Infantry.
Okay.
Because I didn't end up in infantry.
So you get to Germany, and how long were you there?
5 months.
In Munich?
Yeah, I was in a motor pool. They made me a track mechanic. I was working on track vehicles.
That would be like tanks.
Yeah, or smaller personnel carriers, more of the personnel carriers, not the big, the great big tanks. I guess there were some of them there too, but
what was life like in Germany? Did you get to go into town?
No, a couple of times we went to the Hofbräuhaus, one of the Hofbräuhauses. You know, a Hofbräuhaus is a beer hall.
Oh, okay,
the big beer hall.
Okay,
and what's cool about that? They have the old German orchestra and play the polkas and stuff like that right in the beer hall. That was pretty cool. And but only a few times, I think. Otherwise, we just went to the club on the base.
Butch Fisher is my guest this morning on KYMN Radio, Vietnam veteran. And did you get rank? Were you getting rank when you were out? Did you get, like, PFC and staff sergeant and all that?
Oh, yeah, I moved up. I just moved up however they did then. I never did nothing exceptional. I was just, hey, do what they tell you to do, and you'll be fine. That's just what I did. I was just working in wherever they put me.
Well, it's 17 minutes after 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio, and my guest this morning is Butch Fisher from Vestley. Butch, you said twice that you wanted to get to Vietnam, and were you naive, or what was the deal? Because in 1965 and 66, that war was becoming more and more popular.
I know.
And Americans didn't realize. They just heard the name Vietnam and don't even know where it is. And it's just there's a north and there's a south. And you were there at the kind of the heated beginning.
I suppose part of the notion was, I was pretty damn proud of being in the service, serving my country for one thing. Even though I never got into infantry or combat or anything, but I just thought of mainly serving my country. I was really proud of that. And like I said, I just figured that every one of us military guys was going to get there sooner or later. That was my thought at the time. And that was my thought. And I really was anxious to go when, especially when they had orders in Maryland there for us, and then I was kind of disappointed when they changed the orders. That's that's all I can remember how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
So
you got your wish eventually.
I got my wish then after I was in Germany for 5 months, and I'm sure they sent me home for a leave, which I don't know how long, a couple of weeks maybe, if I don't remember.
Well, what was it? I'll ask this question after a brief break, all right?
Okay.
Stand by. Butch Fisher is my guest here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN. We are a friend that you definitely can count on. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is Twins first baseman Joe Mauer, the legendary legend of legends, baseball son of the Twin Cities. Minnesota lore foretold of his greatness, and it couldn't have been more correct. He stands among us today, part myth, part man, all Minnesotan, all-star, five-time silver slugger, three-time gold glover, MVP, and one hell of a nice guy. That is Joe Mauer. This is How We Baseball. Get your tickets to see Mauer and the Twins at twinsbaseball.com.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault,
507-332-2300. Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter.
Pardon me?
Yes,
yeah, get closer to the mic there, okay?
I didn't know where we were on.
Yeah, Herman.
I always liked Herman's Hermits. That's why I remember that song, because they had a different sound.
Yeah, I like it too. And as a matter of fact, it was so well liked, it became the number 4 song in all of 1965 on the Billboard Top 10.
It did.
This is number 4.
Them just the same. Things have changed. She doesn't.
Butch Fisher is my guest on KYMN Radio. We've taken him from his boyhood, childhood in Newmarket, from St. Nicholas Catholic School, then on to New Prague High School, and then the draft, and then through boot camp. Everything's going fine. He gets wants to go to Vietnam. Now, remember, this is 1965, and he wants to go to Vietnam. He's a patriot, and they send him to Germany. And so he spends 5 months in Germany and occasionally gets off base and gets to go to the beer halls and listen to the Oompa Oompa music. And now you and your buddies, did any of your buddies from boot camp go along with you? Did you ever have that opportunity?
No, not, unlike a lot of these guys that said they were together during their service, or friends, or enlisted together or drafted together or whatever. No, I was pretty much on my own. Just when I got to where each place I was, just got to know guys and became friends and stuff. But no, I never had a side-by-side buddy that I knew that I left with ever my whole service.
Now, when they told you you're going to go to Vietnam, they gave you a furlough of 2 weeks?
I think it was.
Okay. What was that like, being back home in New Market, and you got 2 weeks to do whatever you want, and you're going to go to Vietnam? Were the people, your parents, your brothers and sisters, and other folks you knew in New Market, did they know about Vietnam?
Probably not too much. And whoever did know probably figured I was crazy. I don't know. I don't remember my parents or my brothers and sisters or anybody's reaction. I can't even remember what it felt like. I really don't. Don't remember.
Did you have a big going-away party? Go out with your buddies and drink some beer and raise some heck?
Well, we probably did, but I don't remember it. I mean, that was what we did before service and after service. So, but I don't really recall. No, not no big shindig or nothing, no.
How did you get to Vietnam?
I was just trying to think. I guess after... After my leave, I had to go to Oakland, California. I had to fly to Oakland, California, and I think I was in Oakland. I think it was a week, and I don't know what the heck we did for a week, but just a week sticks in my head. And then from there, flew us over to Big Muddy
on a commercial airline.
Yeah, it must have been a commercial airline, yeah.
Did you wear your uniform when you were before you got to Oakland?
In transit?
Yeah, in transit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I had the uniform on all the time. I think we always did.
Did we
were supposed to. I don't remember. I think we were supposed to. I don't know.
Can you still get in your Army uniform? I think you probably could.
I suppose the pants would be a little tight now because I gained a little weight and just in the last year. I've never been this heavy in my whole life. But yeah, I know I can get in it because...
What are you, about 182?
Now?
Lower?
No, now?
Yeah.
Yeah, 185.
How about that? I guess pretty well.
Yeah,
huh?
You're a pretty good guesser.
Okay, so now you're on the plane. It's a commercial flight. They have stewardesses in those days, and now they are flight attendants. And you're going to go off. Now, here's what I want to know. What was the smell when you got off that airplane in Vietnam?
I don't remember the smell. I remember the heat. You got off that airplane, it was just like you hear people say, it was like stepping in front of a blast furnace. So goddamn hot. I don't remember a bad smell or anything, just the heat.
Did you land on a military airbase?
Yeah. Small, I think it was a pretty small airbase. They called it, I think it was Long Bin. That was one of the pretty popular. There was Long Bin, and then in Cameron Bay there was another way bigger airfield, but Long Bin was pretty small, if I remember. Yeah, as soon as we touched down, I guess I was, put it bluntly, I guess I was pretty probably scared shitless.
we can't use that word on the radio.
I'm sorry. When I finally realized, here I am in Vietnam, I suppose it didn't hit me until right away.
Were there other soldiers on that plane?
No, I don't recall any soldiers on there.
Okay.
From Oakland. I don't recall it. But.
So you get off the plane and you have to go over and report to somebody, and you were very scared. Did you see any of the mortar holes or anything?
No, not there where we landed, no.
Okay.
All I can remember where we landed was a bunch of long tents, but they were not like single tents. They were like rows of tents, long tents. And that's all I can still picture. That we slept in there, slept in them, and for I don't know how long we were there. And then all of, then they shipped guys to here and there and wherever they were going. And I don't know how they determined that, because I didn't have a specific order. So long story short, I ended up in a replacement company.
Had you been issued weapons at that time?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
When we landed, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't even remember when. I don't even recall. But anyway, I got there was others too that ended up shipped. We were in a replacement company, which no actual assignment. So what me and a lot of other guys were doing, we were working with the 14th Engineers, who were based in luckily Cameron Bay, which was beautiful. We were working with the 14th Engineers, and believe it or not, what I did for 8 months was pour concrete at night because it was too hot during the day. They were Cameron Bay. They were building all these brand new big barracks at the time for people coming in country. We'd pour slabs, concrete slabs, 20 by 100 feet long to build all these barracks for, you know, because the war was really ramping up then. So that's what I did for 8 months, and I thought, wow, I couldn't believe it. I had it made. It was really nice duty. We were right on the South China Sea. It was beautiful. Had all day to do whatever we wanted, you know, other than sleep some and then work at night. It was awesome. So I thought, well, this is too good to be true. Well, I had 4 months left. Then they sent me over to Kuchi, which I don't know anybody that knows anything about the war. I know this afterward. Kuchi was Tunnel City, they called it. I didn't know it at the time, but I was in a motor pool over there working on... That was the first I finally worked in my MOS, the fuel and electric system repair. You know, rebuilding carburetors, alternators, generators, brake shoes, stuff like that. That's what I did for the last 4 months. And, yeah, I was there during Tet, 68 Tet. That wasn't very fun.
The Tet Offensive.
Tet Offensive. So we got our motor pool got mortared, but that's pretty much the most combat I saw, but it was enough.
You had enough. You were issued a rifle, though, weren't you?
Yeah, we had weapons.
Yeah.
We had weapons then, but...
Did you have to use them?
No, never actually saw no enemy in the area. We just got mortared all the time.
And did you yell, incoming?
No, I don't recall, but I know our motor pool got blasted, and then they were bringing a lot of vehicles that were out in the field and stuff that got some of them were entirely burned out. They had them in our motor pool. Pretty sad to see that. Can't imagine that there were people in that at one time, and I have pictures of them at home, but. Pretty sad to see that, but yeah, I was pretty lucky, I guess. I just look at it as I did my service, but still have the guilt feeling, just like all these other guys say. That, well, you know, all these people that got killed or were in combat and stuff. You know, I was lucky I wasn't, but I look at it as, yeah, I did what they asked me to do, served my country, and. I always tell everybody, I didn't do nothing. I was just there. But it's the way it is.
Well, imagine then how I feel, and people like me that were not accepted after you go through the draft.
I know a lot of people like that, and guys like you were ready and willing, and for whatever reason you weren't able to go, you can't feel bad about that. It wasn't your doing.
And
I know a lot of guys like that.
I failed the physical and won that. And that was in 64. So the war wasn't really that popular, or people weren't that aware.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody said, "Oh, you're really lucky, you know." And well, now I go off to I'm on my first radio job, and the wire services are sending over all these stories about Vietnam. On one hand, I'm saying, "Boy, I'm glad I didn't pass that physical." On the other hand, I think, you know, hey, my roommate went, mm-hmm. and he was in combat, and it's a feeling that I wish I could have given, but I'm glad I didn't.
Well, certainly you're a man, you're human, and naturally you want to serve your country if you're able to. Mm. Absolutely. I don't know anybody that, well, I shouldn't say that. There was conscientious objectors, a lot of them, and I don't know. They have their reasons. Can't criticize. I guess I'm not going to criticize anybody. I don't know anybody's well-being, whatever, you know, that's the way it is. That's the way life is. But
I just found out.
I'm proud of being able to go.
I just found out, when I say just, about a year ago, we had a cousin get together, and we're all having a nice dinner, and I'm talking to a cousin of mine named Larry, and I lived with him. He was younger than me, and my uncle let me live there. Anyhow, he went off to the Navy, and at the time, I thought, you know, the Navy, we're, you know, you're out there in the beautiful waters and all that. Well, then, during this conversation of our get-together, it turns out he was running those PT boats
mm-hmm.
up the Mekong Delta,
mm-hmm.
and the rivers would get really narrow, and the Kong were in the jungle and fire at these open boats.
I know.
And I said, "Gee, you got to come down and tell a story." And he just shut down. He just didn't want to talk about it at all. And then my roommate, who went off to Vietnam when we were working at Channel 6 in Austin, he went to Vietnam for the experience, in the Army, for the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And today he's messed up. Okay, but sometimes has flashbacks because he was hand-to-hand. That jungle was terrible. You never got to go out in the jungle?
I never was out in the field. But I no more than got back from Vietnam and sent my brother over there. He won't even talk to me about his experiences
Bill?
Today. Yep, Bill. He won't talk to me about his stuff. So I don't, you know, way years and years ago, I used to ask him questions and stuff because I know he was out in the boonies. And, you know, I was just curious because I never experienced combat, actual combat, and he wouldn't even talk about it, so I just quit asking him. You know, I respect his wish, but he didn't have it very nice, I know that.
When you got off the plane, and at one point you got pretty scared, and then you ended up with a great fine job laying concrete at night and having whatever you want to do in the daytime
yeah.
and without any people attacking you. But then when you got moved over to the other area,
Coochie,
and then there were mortar attacks on yeah. it, and you had your place to go run and hide and all that stuff, I suppose, all that's organized. Did you ever come face to face with the guys that were coming back from the hills and the jungles?
No, I did not. I never did. No.
So you were fixing vehicles, and then they would be sent back to be used by the Army soldiers.
Yeah, basically, I was just working on, like I said, engine components was my MOS. It was like a, you know, like a garage. I guess it was like a garage.
So did you spend any holidays there? I mean,
Christmas.
Yeah, what was that like?
I don't know. We made our, the guys, the hooch that I was in, the guys, we made our Christmas like we had back home. And I don't know, to this day, we had a Christmas tree. I don't know where in the hell we got a Christmas tree. And Well, our ornaments were beer cans. And we had Christmas lights. We had them strung all over our hooch, you know. I think there was probably 8 of us in a hooch. I can't remember. But we had it fixed up nice. We had a nice Christmas. I mean, there wasn't no gifts or nothing like that. All we did was a lot of drinking. Yeah. But
were a lot of drugs, too?
Not. I didn't have any involvement with any drugs. I okay. have to say, knock on wood, there was one guy in Vietnam that... He was a pot smoker, I guess, or what's... He always wanted me to go smoke pot with him. Every single day he'd ask me. And, you know, I'm telling you the honest truth, I never went with him one day. I never smoked a joint. Don't know, ask me why. Because, you know, everybody thinks everybody did this and did that over there. Well, that ain't true. Because my buddies did not. So...
So was it your responsibility to be in Nam for a year?
A year.
And then you can get out if you want or re-up if you want.
Well, I still had 11 months left of service because I had taken that extra year when I got drafted.
Right.
So I came back. I still had 11 months left. So I ended up getting sent to Fort Sill, Oklahoma. I did 11 months down there, and that was the end of my service.
What did you do down there? What was your job?
Little as possible.
No. Yeah.
No, I don't remember. I was in a, you know, down there they have the artillery guns. I was in a unit like that, but I don't know how that happened, but out of the company I was in, there was a stockade guard in another part of the base in Fort Sill than from where I was. And I don't know how that ever happened, but they had me going over there. I was a guard at the stockade for I don't remember how long. But I don't know how that ever happened, but that's what I was doing.
Did you mix with the prisoners?
Well, I was in a... Yeah, a little bit, not too much. But the first part I was in, what did they call it? You know, where the guys were actually like locked in cells and that cell block.
Mm-hmm.
I was locked in the cell block with them, but they were in like you see, little jail cells, and some of them guys were really crazy, just crazy, and I don't recall if they were Vietnam returnees, or I don't recall, but you know, there was a few guys there that all they wanted to do was get out of the service. The one guy who'd cut his wrists all the time, they'd go to get him sewed up, he'd come back and he'd do it again, and I don't know where they got razor blades or whatever, but these guys were really goofy.
Did you ever get to have a relationship with one of the guys, somebody that was in the whatever they call that, I forget, but that wasn't crazy, but you felt bad for?
Well, I felt bad for all of them guys, but no, I never got into no close relationship with nobody. No, I really didn't.
And then did you carry a gun as a guard?
Not in the cell block, we didn't.
Okay.
But out in the stockade, out in the... You know, where they were, I guess I could only picture it as like a prison or recreation yard in what you see these movies on TV from in a prison, like the stockade was like that. I don't remember if we had weapons or not. I can't even remember. I forgot so much stuff when I remember getting dementia, I think.
How about, when did you muster out?
From Oklahoma?
Yeah, when were you done with the Army?
I think it was February 10th, 1969.
And you were glad to get out?
Oh, yeah.
No,
I was glad after 3 years, then 3 years.
Did you ever get negative response from people at the airports if you were in your uniform?
No, I know what all the hype everybody heard about, but I didn't personally know. I mean, like guys said, they got spit on and stuff like that. No, I never saw anything that drastic.
All right, we're going to take just, go ahead.
Just that you know, everybody knows that the unwelcome everybody got returning back to the United States, but personally, no, I didn't see any of that like that.
Okay. Our guest this morning is Butch Fisher, a Vietnam veteran. We'll be back in just a moment on KYMN, the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help. Everybody knows that's the Beatles.
I like the Beatles. This was a number two song in all of 1965. Now I can picture you over there pouring concrete with your shirts off, and somebody has a boombox and they're playing a little bit of this music. Is that right or wrong?
I don't remember any boomboxes.
Okay, but did you get to have some recreation? When you were
some guys did have radios and stuff, yeah. in the barracks and that, but I don't really recall. They were, when I was in that replacement company, they were, like I said, those barracks were like 20 by 100 size or whatever. So there was a lot of guys in each one of those barracks. But, yeah, some of them had music or radios and stuff. I probably did. I don't remember.
So the end of your Army career is in Oklahoma. And you have met all of the responsibilities you get discharged on good behavior.
Honorable discharge.
And you had a huge paycheck by that time, didn't you? Well, didn't you end up like a corporal or an E5?
I ended up a specialist 5, E5.
Okay. So...
Never was demoted in 3 years. Never got demoted, so that was a good thing.
And you don't have any flashbacks? You don't have any issues that you have to go to... what is that called?
PTSD. Yeah. No, I don't. Thank God I don't. But there's I think of a lot of things, but I guess I don't have what you would call flashbacks or nothing, but a lot of pictures come back to mind now and then, but nothing serious. I guess, like I said, I never ended up in combat, but...
Well, you obviously were proud of your country. You're a patriot,
exactly.
And you're a Vietnam veteran. And anybody that was there, regardless of their position, were in danger. There's no doubt about that.
For sure.
Yeah, and also any job you had, if it wasn't being a foot soldier, they have, what's the nickname? Grunts, and going in the jungle and getting into these firefights and all that, everyone had to help them and have something to do for them.
Exactly.
So, you know, whether you were in combat or not, you were in Vietnam, and you are a veteran, and you served our country, and you served it well, except for some of the stuff you did in Oakland or Oklahoma. Hello.
What I did in Oklahoma, what do you mean?
I'm teasing.
I know you are, but what did you mean?
I'm suggesting that you probably went out with your buddies
We did a lot of drinking, but it seems to me that was pretty much a lot. I'm not going to say most guys. A lot of guys did. I know them, all the ones I know. hear a lot of stories now. Or I run into Vietnam veterans all the time, and you hear a lot of different stories.
Well,
but that was one of the big pastimes, you know.
Yeah, what was the popular beer in Vietnam? I mean, the stacks and stacks of it.
I can remember they called it 33, number 33 or something, where I was.
Okay.
Beer.
Never heard of it.
That's the only one I remember.
You wish you still kept a can of it and as a souvenir, or did you?
Where I was, we had bottles. This was down in the village. We had, on the base, we had American, you know, American beer. Pretty sure we did. But this was down in one of the villages, was 33.
Well, I remember just seeing stacks of Budweiser and some of the filming. So you get home, and now you're single at that time?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're probably 22, 21, 23, right in there?
I must have been just... I must have just turned 22.
Okay. So now what do you do?
I guess you start looking for a girl.
And so you found...
Well, I don't remember when how it went, but...
But you found a woman, and you're married?
Yeah, eventually I was married in 1970.
Okay. 1970...
Yeah. I don't recall a lot of that stuff either, but...
Do you have children?
I have four children.
What are their names?
Angela.
Angela. I've got a daughter named Angela.
Yeah.
Do you call her Angel?
No.
Okay.
We always called her Angie.
Okay.
Dale.
Okay.
Jeremy.
Now, I must know him.
He knows you. I know that.
Okay. That's just three?
But I don't know who doesn't know you. It's Sarah, S-A-R-A.
Sarah, okay. Sarah. Nobody doesn't like Sarah Lee. Okay, so you got a nice family going. Two daughters, two sons. And what line of work did you pick up on?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I got into the cement business. Bricklaying, blocklaying for 25 years. And, before that, I guess when I first got out, I worked at two different locker plants. I was butchering cattle, beef, and pigs. I did work a little bit up at Thermo King in Bloomington for a while. And I worked at Frederick Willis Pool Factory in Farmington for a short time, one time. And don't ask me when these times I worked.
I don't remember. Okay, just keep going.
But generally, I got into the cement business, concrete business. Like I said, I think I laid block for 25 years. And then I'm 48 years old, and I'm thinking, I don't have a savings account. I have nothing. So by this time, I'd been divorced. But... So then I went to FabCon in Savage, Minnesota, precast concrete walls. So I ended up finishing my working days there. I worked there for 17 years and then retired from there in 2011, I think it was.
You know, I had a friend that was a block layer, and he said the worst part was the wet holes at the that
mud
that when it
mud
rains
and worked a drizzle of rain and
you'd have to you got something going and then they have to kick you out because of the weather and then you come back the next day and you have to stand in that pool of water to start reapplying bricks.
Did a lot of work. It wasn't always fun. But I enjoyed what I was doing. I always enjoyed what I was doing. My whole working days, I guess. I guess back to 14 years old, my dad instilled good work ethics in me. That's what I credit to. I liked working and I liked what I was doing.
What was that place like in Farmington?
Savage, you mean?
I thought you mentioned that you worked at a place in Farmington.
Frederick Willis.
Yeah, what was
pool, it? They made pool tables.
Oh, a factory?
Yeah. I think they made them there or just a warehouse. I remember what I was doing was loading semi-trailers with pool tables.
Heavy.
Boxed up. Oh, yeah, you had a little two-wheel cart thing. You put it on and you kind of balanced it.
Yep.
But I didn't work there real long. My mom worked there for a while, too, and some of her friends. I suppose that's how I ended up there, but it was short-lived. I can't remember even how long, but I enjoyed that, too. Warehouse stuff, I like that stuff.
But. So I've talked to many, many people. Well, over half the people in America are divorced. Okay? That's the way it is. And sometimes people don't want to talk about it. Other times people say they don't mind, like you just did. And did you remarry?
No, never remarried.
So you're a single guy?
Since 1988.
You've been single since 1988?
Yeah. I never was even married half that long.
Wow. Did you join groups or churches and go to dances? And
let's back up a little bit. I had a drinking issue. So, long story short, I was court ordered to inpatient treatment because I had too many DWIs. So I ended up they had a treatment center just north of Jordan on 169. Linville Treatment Center, that's what it was called. I couldn't remember what it was called. So I spent a month there. And naturally, I didn't have no drinking problem. I didn't have a problem. Everybody else was crazy. So I took up space for 2 weeks. And I don't know what happened, but by the grace of God, the light came on after 2 weeks, and I haven't touched a drink since. So that was 1983. So then I'm thinking that might be part of the reason I ended up divorced. When I got through treatment, the only answer I could come up with was I must have been such a different person that's why my wife at the time left. I'm not sure, but that's the only conclusion I ever came with.
Were you able to make it up with the kids?
Yeah. They were small. You know, they were small. They probably didn't even understand a lot of it, but well, yeah, I had a lot of discussions with them.
So you only one time through rehab?
Treatment,
yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's pretty good, isn't it?
I'd say, because I know I feel bad for a lot of people that have been in and out of rehabilitation for 4, 5, 6, 7 times, I wish I could do something for them. I know some personally that I've helped try, you know, but it's a son of a gun. Not an easy thing to overcome, and I know God was looking out for me, otherwise I wouldn't be sitting here, I know that.
What do you do besides bowl on Monday nights?
Bowl on Monday and bowl on Tuesday, and
oh, I didn't
wait
know that.
For the snow to melt so I can get on the motorcycle again.
What do you ride?
I've got a 99 Suzuki Intruder and
a Suzy.
2014 Triumph.
Really?
Thunderbird.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I have for over 20 years. I've done a lot of benefit rides. That's my life. That's my life now in summer.
Have you taken the instructions to put together motorcycle ride tours?
The rides?
Are you talking about getting a bunch of motorcyclists together?
I do a lot of them.
Yeah,
I don't personally arrange them. Is that what you're asking?
No, I'm asking if you've taken the course to be a captain, a team captain.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. I'm just a peon.
Okay.
But, no, I enjoy doing that. I've done benefit rides, like I said. I still always remember, well, I was still working at FabCon, and one summer I did 20 benefit rides that one summer. I just can't believe that I could even do that.
Wow.
I did a lot of weekends. I did one on Saturday and one on Sunday. And
did you ride your Susie or your Triumph?
Well, I just have only had the Triumph for about 3 years now.
Oh, okay.
I had that Susie from brand new 99.
That's a crotch rocket, right?
No, it's a cruiser.
Oh, it is. Okay.
1,500.
Okay.
I got 103,000 miles on that one.
Good for you.
And that's not that many. 18 years old, that's not that many for Minnesota.
I had a Susie one time, probably about a 120, just to get from here to there. We have one more break, and then we'll be back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, and we are talking to a gentleman by the name of Butch Fisher. He's from Newmarket.
Your wait is over. Finally, a refreshingly affordable golf membership. As one of the finest golf facilities in the greater Twin Cities area, Northfield Golf Club membership is built upon quality with a price point that is unmatched for a private club, a true value. The course offers a variety of membership options, including individual, couples, senior, young adult, and others. You're invited to compare versus private and even public golf courses. 2018 memberships now available. Call our friend, General Manager Dan Doles at 507-645-4026.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Going to wrap up our conversation with Butch Fisher, a Vietnam veteran and a hardworking guy. And that last part was very interesting. Thank you for sharing in that regard. And I want to say that, you know, we are recording this. Did you know that?
I guess I knew.
And, yes, you know Angela, Gail, Jeremy, and Sarah, they probably know how to download it off our website, kymnradio.net, and they should download it on a item that you can replay, whether it's a CD or whatever they do nowadays with that stuff. And of the 8 siblings, 2 of them have passed away, both of them cancer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that would have been Fred or
Fred Jared? In 2016 and Shirley in 1984.
Boy, oh boy. Well, the rest up on their feet, healthy?
Yes, they are.
All right.
Well,
so, go
my
ahead.
Little brother had cancer here a year or two ago, but he's fine now.
Bill?
Ross.
Ross, okay. And Toots is okay?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing with us today. I appreciate it. You're a very quiet guy, by the way.
Well, I thought I used to be quiet when I was younger, but everybody's telling me now that I never shut up, so I don't know, Wayne.
No, you're very... you don't say much until somebody says something to you. And I
love meeting people. I meet people all the time, and I can... My friends, a couple of friends say, well, I wish I could talk to people like that. And I says, you can. I says, open your mouth. Just start a conversation. And that's what I do. I love meeting people and finding connections. And
well, that's what we did today. It's 11 o'clock. This is KYMN Radio, Northfield, Minnesota. It is 1080 AM and 95.1 FM. It's 11 o'clock, and Butch, I'm going to play the number one song in 1965.
All right.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
You want to guess?
No.
Well, now you know it.
I would have never been able to guess what was number one or all of those 10 songs that you played. I wouldn't remember. I know all those songs, but don't ask me who it is either, because I don't remember.
Well, I sure enjoyed our conversation today. Thank you very much. I will see you next Monday at 4 o'clock at the Alleys. And I hope I have better luck than I did last night. And I hope you continue doing as well as you did the last... Well,
okay,
you're just good, period. I'm going to let this song play for a while, then... turn it over, all right? Thank you.
Okay, will do, Wayne. Thank you very much. I enjoyed this.
Good. Thank you.
I can't get no. 95.1.
The One.
Tonight.